I got a story to tell you. Seemed like there was a man that hired a cleaning lady to come to his house 3 days a week and help keep the house clean. So one day, while she was there, he came home. And he told her, he said, just go ahead and keep working. He said, I'll be gone in about 15 minutes. But he got to noticing her on how slow she moved. And he said, well, no wonder she's here as long as she is. And he walked up to her and he said, I want to ask you a question. She said, what is it? He said, I notice how slow that you are. I said, do you do anything fast? She said, just one thing. And he said, what's that? And she said, I get tired fast. I've got a point to that story. If you've got any idea that this is going to be a marathon, let me assure you right now, I get tired fast. Brother Connor was talking about walking on the beach for an hour. I said, my goodness, I haven't walked for an hour in decades. I told Bobby when I come in here, I said, you know, it's not a sin to grow old, but it sure is inconvenient. Have a Bible with you. Turn with me to John, the 20th chapter. The book of St. John, the 20th chapter. I'm going to start reading at the 24th verse. And I want you to know that I'm glad to be here. Actually, I passed up a lot of churches to get here. Probably several hundred of them, matter of fact. But I am glad to be here with you folks this morning. And when I come in for Sunday school, Sister Nichols said, well, you know, asked me, you know, feel free to comment. And then after the Sunday school class, she said, you didn't comment. I looked at her and I said, I didn't get a chance to comment. That's a lively Sunday school class. I thought about saying, I need to, you know, find some way to cheer this class up, but that's a good Sunday school class. And my friend back there, I just met him, Brother Carr. When you said that about Moon, about he was Jesus Christ, reminded me of a man that I went to Bible school with in Gilroy. Sister Little may have went with him. He went twice. Anyway, his name was Robert Costa. He was a Portuguese man. And he came from Oakland. And he told the story about being downtown Oakland when there was an entourage of people coming his way. And the guy in front had a long robe on. And the guy in back had a sign that said, this is Jesus Christ returned to the earth. So Bob Costa just walked up and stopped the whole procession and looked at that guy in that robe. He said, do you know who I am? And the guy looked down and saw him. He said, no, I don't. He said, then you're not Jesus, because Jesus knows me. I know that Moon wasn't Jesus because he didn't know me. If he had, he'd have talked to me. Amen. Well, enough of that. You listen fast and I can preach fast. We may not. Yeah, I get tired of it. We may not beat the Methodists to the restaurant, but I guarantee you the Assemblies of God don't have a chance. All right, you got your Bible open to it? I don't want to lose control of anything, like a congregation. It's a wonderful lesson in this story. Matter of fact, I find this story pretty amazing. Listen to what I read. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And many of the signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Amen. Driving up here, I thought long and hard about how I would approach this message. Then I came up with a great idea. I said, "I'll get behind that pulpit, and my eyes will be half closed, and my fists will be clenched, and the veins will be sticking out in my neck, and I'll pound the pulpit and say, 'What kind of a lousy disciples is this that demands of Christ Jesus that he show me the hands, the scars that had been lately healed, and that he demands that the Lord pull back his robe and expose his side so that this disciple could put forth his hand and rub his hand over the scar where they pierced it with the sword. And then I'd shout, "I'd never do that!" I'll never have that little faith. But then I said, no, that would be a bald-faced lie. I've had several occasions in the past couple of years to question the things that has happened in my life. And I want to tell you something. It has been a fight and a struggle to maintain, "I will not demand of God anything." Because I want you to know this, that if God never answers another one of my prayers, and if he never helps me again, if he should tell me, "Son, you're on your own. You will never hear from me again," I will have to look up in God and say, it's all right, Lord, because when you saved my soul, you did enough for me to sit to praise you through the ceaseless ages of eternity without stopping. And if you will look into your own life, I know that some of you are facing sorrows. That is not why I'm preaching this message. I'm preaching it because all of us are apt to fall in a wrong state of heart. Not because we're backslid, not because we're enemies of Christ, but because of our natural infirmities. And as long as we're in this flesh, we will be subject to temptation and to struggle and to run back. Yes, the Sunday school class was right. I've lived the past year and a half in a constant state of repentance. But I'm here, and I'm happy, and I'm preaching, and I'm excited, and I feel the presence of God in this church, and I know that the anointing is here, and I know that God is in this place to bless you this morning. Say amen to what I'm talking about. Getting back to the story. Consider the Lord in the presence of an unbelieving disciple who had treated him with presumption and rashness. I don't know which I noticed more. Thomas' impertinence or Jesus' patience. No, it's not Thomas's impertinence. I am blown away by the patience that Jesus has with this unbelieving, demanding Simon. It should not be asked of a disciple who has never forsaken his master. But Thomas has forsaken him, just like all the rest of them, when he was crucified. And yet, when Jesus shows up in that room, he's not there, and the next moment he is. The door being shut. And then he looks at everybody and says, "Peace be unto you." And then he looks right at Thomas and says, "Thomas, stretch forth your hand." Who told Jesus that Thomas said that? Nobody had to tell Jesus. And nobody has to tell Jesus what you're feeling in your heart right now. You can fool me. You may be able to fool Brother Connors, but you will not fool the Holy Spirit that's in you. Amen? Have you grown cold? How was your week? This week? Have you had an occasion to question God? Have you said, "Lord, why me? What did I do?" And yet I'm telling you, come to him. You know what I'd have done if I had been Jesus? When I walked into that room, I'd have said, "Thomas, I want you to leave." First of all, you didn't believe several things. You didn't believe the old scriptures, that the Messiah must be killed and raised again the third day. You didn't believe my words, because I told you several times on the way to Jerusalem that we must go to Jerusalem so that I can die, be buried, and raised the third day. You didn't believe the scriptures. You didn't believe me. You didn't believe the women that came to the tomb. And the angel said, go back and tell his disciples. They all went back. They told his disciples. You didn't believe them. And lastly, you didn't believe your fellow apostles. Just before this, Jesus appeared unto them. Came into the room. Breathed on them. Received the Holy Ghost. Now he's here. You didn't believe anything. You didn't believe nobody. You're just an unbeliever. Leave the room. He didn't do that to Thomas. And I guarantee you, he will not do that to you. You don't know what I've done this week. No, and I don't even want to know. But I know this, whatever you did wasn't as bad as Thomas. To disbelieve the scriptures, Jesus' words, the women, the other disciples. My Lord, man, how many evidences do you want? When this service is over, if you have aught against God, I want to see you on this front pew, kneeling here, crying to God, Lord, forgive me. If your faith has been weak, if you have begun to listen to the news and get afraid, until you can't even come to church and worship God because you're thinking about the condition of the world. Don't you know that God is in control of this whole thing? Don't you know that we're not looking to the government for our support? We're looking from Him, Almighty God, for everything that we need. Do you believe what I'm preaching about this morning? If you don't believe it, don't say anything. I don't want to hear from you. Must Jesus unrobe himself for an unbelieving disciple? And yet he did. He said, Thomas, reach forth and put your finger right here where the nail was. And then throwing open, he said, and then put your hand right there. There is no length to what Christ will go to for his dear children. There is nothing so pricey that he will not buy it, that you may have it if he thinks you need it. Do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that? Do you really know Jesus loves you? Brother, if you don't, if you have some kind of doubt about it, God has sent me here with this message to clear up your doubts and to get that thing out of the way. The angels must have been shocked at Thomas demanding, accept, accept, accept. I will not believe. He didn't say, I cannot. He said, I will not. I'm bringing my will into this thing. I could believe if I will so, but I will not believe unless. Unless I have to have faith by the fingertips. You know what? A little time after this, at the day of Pentecost, Thomas received the gift of tongues just like everybody else. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He became a mighty warrior for the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know what future God has for you, but he is not through with you, or you wouldn't be here. I don't know whether you remember or not, you know, maybe not even heard of it, but Samson, before he was born, an angel appeared to his mother and father and told them the future. And when that angel left, the daddy, man, he was shaken. He was just shaken. And he said, "That's it. God's going to kill us. That's it. God sent an angel here." Man, that angel was powerful. And he said, "God's going to kill us." And Manoah, his wife, said, "What's the matter with you, George?" "Well, I don't know. You know, I don't think the Bible gives his name." And so she said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "Don't you?" She said, "Don't you know? If God wanted to kill us, we'd be dead now. Don't you know that God's got something good thing for you? If God was against you, you'd be dead now. You're alive under the power and the glory and the auspices and the watching of Christ Almighty himself." Say amen. Okay, the sweetest word a preacher can utter behind the pulpit. Lastly. A couple of things about Thomas, the servant. He was overwhelmed at the presence and power of Jesus Christ, and rightly so. Now he believes, and in one sense, he believes more than the others. Peter had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But Thomas was the first one to really notice and understand his deity. Because Thomas looked at him and said, "My Lord and my God." He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's what he was yesterday, and that's what he is today. Your Christ Jesus is Lord and God. There is God the Father, there is God the Holy Spirit, and there is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend and my Savior. Say amen what I'm talking about. Well, I'm going to congratulate you on how well you're controlling your emotions. He's Lord and God. He's your Savior. He's your friend. He's the one who knows you best. He died for you. You are choice in His sight. I think we should all make a declaration for God. Well, that's it. Fold up my notes and put it in there. And I want you to understand and know, God didn't send me here for nothing. He sent me here with a message for you. And not only for you, but for me. When I point my finger out there, I've got three of them pointing back at me. And I am very cognizant of that fact, that what I preach to you, I had better live and walk and talk. And I want you to know, I tell you this in all humility, yes, I have had a struggle, but I'm here, and I'm still preaching. And when I can't drag my left knee because it hurts so bad, I'll have to preach from a wheelchair. But I guarantee you, look for me rolling in maybe next time. Because if I'm called back, I'll come and I'll be preaching. I don't know whether I'll be standing up or not, but I will be preaching. Why, Brother Allen? Because I believe the story that I just told to you this morning, and I will not let him down. I'm going to work for him, preach for him, live for him, walk for him, and love everybody. Say amen. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's yours.
He said to a minister friend of mine who also came out of the same church, he said, I have to work at preaching, and you have to work at preaching, referring to this other minister, but Galen, it just comes natural. I sat there and I thought, that is so good. That is so true. I hope that these truths you will hide in your heart, because they apply to every one of us. I would like to see him come back, not rolling in, but hopping in, but running in. And either way he comes, we're going to have him back. And ushers, would you come? We're going to take a love offering this morning for our speaker. I pray that you will recognize that labor is worthy. Paul said, we sow unto you spiritual things and we reap carnal. I'm going to ask that you give and to him and his life. It's for him. How he spends it is his business. And God will bless you as you give. Father, we thank you for what we heard today. It is truths, Lord, that every believer needs to hear. Lord, may we hide that message in our heart. We saw so much. We see your mercy. Lord, I won't preach it again, but Lord, help us to hide it into it, meditate on it. Now bless your people as they give, and you'll bless them in return. You're debtor to no man. In Jesus' name, amen. There isn't a person here that struggles with what Brother Allen said, either now or yesterday or tomorrow. You will have thoughts. You will have troublesome thoughts. Whether the devil gives them to you, whether your flesh is just good enough to producing them on its own, that is enmity with God. But I love the end of the story, his mercy. And we always end up winning because of his mercy. And I want you to leave with that. His mercy is greater than your stubbornness. His mercy is greater than your... How many are aware there's times of you that just struggles to do what's right? But God's grace and mercy, that's what grace is it looks beyond our fault. When you have a hunger for God, guess who put that hunger there? God's grace did. God's grace. That's why we sing about the messages of grace. So would you stand this morning and would you just quietly reach over and grab the hand of the person next to you for a moment, please, and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit now that has surely orchestrated our steps to come. that has surely, Lord, it has gathered up our attention. And Lord, I have sensed a stillness, a sweetness of your presence. And we're reminded, Lord, of your love and your mercy and grace. I pray that these people will go with that and have a presence that knows we're going to overcome because of his mercy and his grace. So bless your people as they go in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
Amen and amen.